Did Derek Carr cry on the field? Like, what do you guys think? I saw three tears. Does that really count as crying?
It doesn't matter. Okay. So here's the thing, right? You get hit. I played football for a while. It hurts. Who cares? Let him cry.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners of podcast things, welcome to the Lockdown Podcast. It's your boys, Zach Ferrer,
Chris Krueger,
and Matt Irwin.
That was long. All right. We're back. We were gone for a minute, like a week.
We took a week off.
We had things to do. There was a wedding. There was a wedding.
It's pretty cool, man. Yeah. Weddings are pretty sweet.
Weddings are pretty sweet.
Yeah. You know what else is pretty sweet? A baseball game that went 18 innings last night.
So tired.
And the Red Sox lost, which is pretty cool, right, Zach?
Friggin' fantastic.
It was 3-2 was the final score, right? Yeah. Dodgers and Red Sox played 18 innings.
7 hours, 20 minutes.
Seven hours, 20 minutes.
And I sat there the whole time.
You're an insane person.
I am an insane. I'm a sociopath.
The length of that game was longer than the entire 1939 World Series.
Wait, how?
That's a true fact.
That's the truth.
I don't know how.
Isn't that insane?
That's crazy.
It must have been like a 4-game sweep, or maybe 3 games if it was that back then.
Yeah, it might have been that.
It's insane.
That's hilarious.
Listen, last night was a nightmare. I'm not going to lie.
And you know why it's a nightmare?
Why?
Because after you win a game that goes 18 innings, all the momentum changes.
Oh, yeah.
The Dodgers were looking, they were hung out to dry. They won two games. They lost two games straight against the Red Sox. They were looking bad, but they fought and clawed for 18 innings and got over that hump. Now they have the momentum. What it comes down to now is, can Clayton Kershaw give them a quality start?
Yeah.
That's what's going to decide this series. It's going to be a close one. I think it's going to go 7 games.
Think so?
Yeah, I really do. I think these teams are pretty evenly matched. And I think now that the Dodgers won that one game, I think they're going to be able to win a couple more. But Clayton Kershaw has to win this series for them. He's got to come in game 6 or game 7, and he's got to give them a near perfect start. And I don't think he can do it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where he's like one of the best pitchers of all time in the regular season. But as soon as you get into the postseason, he has an ERA of 5.67.
It's bad.
Wow.
In the postseason. And he's a guy who has a career ERA in the regular season of like 2.1. Like, he has one of the greatest ERAs in the history of baseball. But when you get into the postseason, he's like one of the worst consistent starters in the league.
There's so much pressure on him, though.
Exactly.
Because he's their guy.
He's their ace. Yeah. But you have guys like Pedro Martinez, who were the ace of their team, and they wrecked it in the postseason. They were amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And guys like Mariano Rivera, who would go in every single night and be perfect every time. And Clayton Kershaw, although he's probably a better pitcher than both of those guys in terms of regular season, I mean, postseason, he chokes.
Well, so you got, it's kind of like how David Price viewed the postseason for so long and how he still views Yankee Stadium, that it's like a mental grasp over him that
exactly.
He just can't seem to break. I mean, even when David Price has his games against the Yankees, when he walks into Yankee Stadium, he can't do anything. And I think with baseball specifically, it's just a sport where, like, you find like a lot of superstition in baseball. You find a lot, like, it's a very habitual sport, but it's also a sport that, like, once you get yourself in a hole, it takes forever to get out of it. JD Martinez is postseason. He's hit 13 RBIs, which has been good.
That's really good, yeah.
But he hasn't been the 41 home run slugger we've needed him to be.
Right.
And because he found himself in a cold streak at like game 161. And like meanwhile, you get guys like Jackie Bradley, who's also a very streaky player. He heated up around the divisional series. And ever since then, he's been our guy. But that's what kind of just honestly sucks about baseball sometimes in these situations where you get guys like Kershaw, where this is just a yearly thing. You can almost expect it to happen of, all right, well, let's see. Instead of saying, all right, Kershaw, we're going to get this win here where Kershaw's going to start, it's more so, can he break past the mold and do something for us?
Our bats put up 7 runs so we have a chance of winning?
Like the run support both David Price in the regular season and Clayton Kershaw in the postseason needs to be like 30 for something to happen.
Yeah.
It's bad. yeah, guys, I'm beaten up over that game last night.
I'd imagine,
I'm mentally and physically exhausted. Oh, yeah. The part that gets me, there were three takeaways I had from that game last night. Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, and JD Martinez combined for 0 for 18. And that's not cool. That's not cool at all.
No.
I think it's pretty cool.
I know you think it's cool, but I don't think it's cool.
The Dodgers are not cool.
Ian Kinsler, you sign a rental like that, you know, because that's what he is. He's a rental for the Red Sox because we don't have Pedroia. Brock Holt has been our multiple position guy, so we needed a firm second baseman, you know. That's what we signed Kinsler for. 13-year vet, three-time, this year would be his third time in the World Series, twice with the Rangers, once with the Sox. You'd see him as reliable, you know. You'd see him as a guy that when something happens, when the crap hits the ceiling, Big Hit Kins is going to be there to get that ball.
Yeah, he's been there before.
He's been there before. He'll do it again. Guess what he did last night? He didn't do it again. Yasiel Puig hit a cedar of a ground ball right up the middle, right to Kinsler, directly to Kinsler. Homeboy had some bad footing. Threw it about 3 miles north of Steve Pierce at first base, or Mitch Moreland. I don't even know who was there. I'm so tired. Puig advanced to second base. Next base hit. They tied the game in the 13th inning, right when we thought it was over. And here's the part that killed me. Like that, from that moment on, like I couldn't sit because I was so anxious at that point. We had just taken the lead. We had a 2-1 lead. I'm like, oh, this is it. We're three outs away from a 3-0 series lead. This is huge for us. And then that happens. And like you walk into that, like how, I don't know how much longer this game's going to go for. It is probably going to be a 20 inning game. And that's just awful. Like, yeah, it's granted, that's going to go down as one of like the craziest, maybe not one of the best, but one of the craziest baseball games in World Series history.
The longest.
The longest. Yeah. So that's cool. I don't see it as cool right now. I see it as we just lost a lot of momentum. Yeah. Tonight for game 4, we don't even know who our starter is. And it is 2:00 in the afternoon. We have no idea who our starter is, publicly at least.
Right.
Right now it's down to Drew Pomeranz, who has been the butt crack of the team this year.
All right, harsh.
And no, it's true. And like, I don't know why he's in the World Series roster, but whatever. And I'm not bitter at all. And Eduardo Rodriguez, who was our starter for most of the season, but got put in the bullpen for situations like this. But the Red Sox bullpen has been impressive.
Yeah.
And really impressive because all year, they've fallen short multiple times, especially for guys like Sale and Price, who have had opportunities to get quality wins, and the bullpen just blows it. But we got guys like Joe Kelly, Nathan Eovaldi, who was actually a starter, but he's been coming out of the bullpen a lot during the postseason. Eovaldi came out in the 12th inning in relief and pitched 6 innings of two-hit baseball.
It's crazy.
It was like Rick, there was a report that came out that like Rick Porcello was straight up crying in the dugout because he's like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I was getting emotional. It was crazy. So this isn't a Red Sox podcast as much as I want it to be.
Nope, it's not.
So we'll move on. Game 4 is tonight. Hopefully by next week's podcast, we'll be talking about, you know, the Red Sox, the World Series champions. But this isn't a Red Sox podcast.
Hopefully by this time next week, we'll be talking about Clayton Kershaw finally winning a World Series.
Or so how he flunks again.
Yeah, but that would be so...
Listen, I love Kershaw. If it wasn't for the Sox, I'd be all on board for Kershaw, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long series, especially since they've used 4 starters, the Red Sox have, in 3 games.
Oh, yeah.
And just, it's a matter of their health with their pitchers and the bullpen.
Yep.
The Dodgers have the edge with the bullpen at this point.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, I'm really interested.
Vaulty saved them, though.
He really did.
Like,
he pitched a gem.
Yeah, he did. And he pitched that long. Like, if the Red Sox end up having a solid pitching performance tonight, you can pretty much, I think, put that all on Eovaldi for saving that bullpen.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because they would have had to use every single guy in that pen if he hadn't come in and give them that incredible start that he did.
And what's more impressive to me is that he probably didn't expect to actually get in the game at all.
Yeah.
Let alone pitch 6 innings and basically be ready for an entire game.
Exactly.
You know, so that's what impressed me. Coming in relief outing in the World Series, I mean, he was dominant last night.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, he gave up the walk-off, but he had pitched like 95, 96 pitches at that point. He was already exhausted.
There's no way you can expect more from a guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Spectacular.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. So, now that we covered the World Series, let's jump into our weekly NFL talk for the week.
Can I start?
You can start.
I have something to say.
What's up?
Breaking news, actually. This has been... we've been mulling this over for weeks. It's a development that's kept on growing and growing. The New York football Giants are bad.
Very bad.
They're so bad.
Very bad.
They're so bad.
I love it.
It's so great. They're so bad.
And Eli Manning, man. You know what's funny to me? You know what's really funny to me? Is that last year, that entire coaching staff for the New York Giants got fired. Because they benched Eli Manning because they were like, you know what? He's over the hill. He can't do it anymore. We need to move on. And the Giants faithful were like, Eli's the cornerstone of our organization. You can't bench Eli. It's disrespectful. And then they force Ben McAdoo to be fired. And then guess what? Eli Manning sucks.
He's old.
He's old and he's bad.
Everything you don't want out of a quarterback.
All he can do is throw dump off passes, and if he throws it far, it's over the. It's like he overthrows the guy.
Exactly.
There's no in between. There's no.
Just typical Elisha Manning, you know?
Elisha Manning. That's a new one. But no, I mean, and now they're unloading a lot of their pretty solid pieces. I mean, Damon Harrison.
They traded the wrong Eli.
I mean, they could get something out of Harrison. At least they could get something out of Eli Apple. Nobody would even take Eli Manning.
Yeah,
maybe
not.
The Jaguars, but we'll save that.
Well, with Tom Coughlin over there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, but no, they traded Damon Harrison.
Snacks.
And they traded Eli Apple for a fourth and fifth, I think, respectively.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an okay moves. I'm a fan of trading Damon Harrison because he's kind of older. He's getting up there.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get anything for him, that's probably a good thing. Eli Apple, though, I mean... I guess that's okay. And he hasn't really lived up to the expectations, but he's still a pretty talented guy.
He's,
and I think he can be a pretty solid corner.
He's going to be great for New Orleans. I know that. Like, he's going to be killing it over there.
Well, because he can just jump in the slot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He doesn't need to go out there and cover the best receiver on their team. Because Janoris Jenkins on the Giants has been laying an egg this year.
Yeah.
By far his worst statistical year of his career.
So
yeah, I mean, the Giants are not looking very good.
They're in full fire sale mode.
They are.
Like, it's, so what do you guys... What do you think is next for the Giants? Like, or not, maybe not next, but what do you see can be their steps to a better future from here?
I think they'll draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
That's the next step, I think, right now.
So
they don't have anybody.
They can also save, I read this morning, that they can save $17.5 million of Manning's cap hit by releasing him now. And so what if they release him and put in LaLetta? See if we can get some good reps out of them. Because, like, can we, like, can the Giants say this season is done?
Right.
And let's, you know, let's just call it a tank season and see what we can look for next year.
I mean, look, the Redskins are 4-3 and the Cowboys just got Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
So, as far as I'm concerned, the Giants, who are 1-5, they should not be thinking about trying to win the division. You know, I mean, their chances are over at this point.
It'd be hard to release Eli, who has been so. Such a valuable piece to their franchise, even though he's bad right now.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, I feel like they should definitely make more trades, try to rack up some draft picks before the deadline on the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can make some big trades, get some higher draft picks, to try to just get younger players and just rebuild. Their only reliable player at this point, to me, is Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
and with the run game, Odell's actions off the field. Can never really trust him on the field. He produces, but
yeah, he produces on the field. But you don't want your receiver ever speaking out against your quarterback.
No,
like Odell's been doing recently. No.
So they'll probably get a high draft pick. I'm sure there's going to be some really good quarterbacks in the draft. So go get some guy in the first round.
Draft class is not looking good this year.
No, but they're looking to get a top five pick at this point.
Can you see the Giants trading for somebody like Derek Carr though?
With that contract, though,
can they afford his contract?
I don't know.
I mean, they just gave Odell Beckham a lump sum of money, but they were able to unload Snacks, Damon Harrison's contract, which was pretty big.
Snacks.
So I don't exactly know what their cap situation is, but I'm sure they could make room for Derek Carr.
Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking maybe not this season, but
their offseason. I would not put Derek Carr behind that offensive line right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're better than they were the past couple of years, but they're still not a strong offensive
line. I don't think it's very smart midseason to get a guy like that.
I don't think so. Yeah. No. Yeah, I think...
Whole offseason.
I think the best thing to do is that if John Gruden waits till the offseason to trade Derek Carr, I think the best move for the Giants would be to try to just like give up a sixth or seventh for him, because I don't think he has very much trade value right now.
Right.
And then try to rebuild that offensive line, not through the draft, but try to maybe trade some of those picks for established guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to get a guy like Derek Carr and then just move him to an even worse offensive line when he already struggles under pressure. So I think, and they have not had a good time drafting offensive linemen.
Oh, it's been
every
awful.
Single offensive lineman the Giants have drafted has basically released at this point.
Even in free agency. Yeah. Nate Solder has not done anything this year.
Well, Nate Solder, when he played for the Patriots, only has to block for like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then Tom Brady gets rid of the ball.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, that may not have been the smartest signing. But no,
there's a lot of bad factors that lead to that. But sticking around in Oakland, John Gruden has gotten 5 first-round draft picks recently. Is it all for, like, is over the next, like, 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
And there have been potential talks of him either trading Derek Carr this season or in the offseason next year. So kind of similar to New York, they're reaching that point of like semi-full fire sale. Or maybe not fire sale, but they're in rebuild right now.
Dude, John Gruden's tanking.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Hard.
But I mean, if you look at his like contract, he's got 10 years on this contract.
Right.
So like, do you think he's looking at it like, I got time, let's just see where we can go with it?
I think so.
Because a lot of people are already giving up on the guy. I think it's a little too early. Because it's his first year, and two, you got to look at what he did with the Bucks too, with their draft class when he came in. He maybe didn't do a similar thing because this Oakland team was good the last couple of years, or maybe with some bad coaching, but they had potential. I mean, he comes in and just says, "Let's change everything." Not only that though, but the way that Gruden coaches, he needs a very firm relationship with his starting quarterback,
right,
and someone that he can trust, someone that he can go to. Not only that, but somebody that he can lay into and expect them to be like, all right, cool. Like, I believe Gruden with somebody, maybe not Tom Brady, but like Tom Brady, would be just a superstar duo.
Oh, yeah.
And not saying Derek Carr is soft or anything like that, but it's, you can tell there's a disconnect between the two.
Yeah,
you know. So
definitely.
Anyway, so going back to the question, what do you guys, do you think this is something that will pay off over time for Gruden? In the Raiders?
I hope not.
Well, I know you hope not. But.
There's the Broncos fan. But listen, man, I don't know. It's hard. When you put the entire future of your team in unknown draft picks, you never know.
Yep.
You know,
true.
It's John Gruden's... I mean, John Gruden is putting a lot on a draft class that is probably not going to be very good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sometimes players surprise you. You know, you can get them in like the 3rd and 4th rounds and they end up being stars. I think Shannon Sharp was like a 7th round pick or something like that. So you can always get guys like that late in the draft. But, I mean, on the surface, at least, I mean, there's not too many big quarterbacks. I think there's, like, one good wide receiver out of, like, Arizona State. Maybe, like, another at Notre Dame. Like, they don't have that much talent. And then the Raiders have 3 first-round picks, and it's like, that's great. But there's no franchise-changing talent. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
There's no, like, there's no Cam Newton or Saquon Barkley or anybody like that where it's, like, you know, once-in-a-lifetime obvious first round pick.
I'll give him credit for getting a first rounder for Amari Cooper though.
Yeah.
Like, who else besides the Cowboys would get would trade a first round pick for Amari Cooper?
Well, I mean, look, they had to. Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles, they won the Super Bowl last year because of all the deals and trades that he made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as they're like, we're open to trading Amari Cooper, and the Eagles are like, oh, we'll talk about it. The Cowboys are like, first round pick.
It's like not, Jerry Jones doesn't even think. He's just like, I just want the guy. Just give him first.
But I mean,
pick.
If you look at the Cowboys, though, that's like their one weakness right now.
Yeah.
Is their wide receiver core. That you know, you get guys like Cole Beasley has been the only constant. And that's not good for Dak. Because he's a type of guy that, like, I mean, and on paper, there was hope. There's a little bit of hope for the receiving core with, you know, Taven Austin, Michael Gallup, Allen Hurns. Like, 3 semi-consistent guy, and they haven't done anything this year. And they, I don't know what his update is right now, but Jeff Swaim, their starting tight end, he got hurt last Sunday. So
yeah, that's the biggest weakness, obviously, on the team is tight end.
Yeah.
The problem that really, it starts at tight end because the teams don't respect them.
Yeah.
So no corner has to guard any of the tight ends. They can just throw the linebacker on them. And because of that, you have the number one corner guarding Allen Hurns, who, while he's a good receiver, is not going to get any separation on any of the like elite corners in the league.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley's still been doing pretty well, but you throw him in the slot and he's always going to get open. You know, he's so shifty and he's so good at running his routes. That's just what he does.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's been rough this year. And because of that, they can stack the box. They can throw the middle linebacker on the tight end. And all of a sudden now Ezekiel Elliott can't run. They can't check it down to the tight end. And then the wide receivers can't get open.
Yeah, so, a lot of the defenses are more focused on the run because they have Ezekiel Elliott.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they have no weapons at wide receiver. They have no weapons at tight end. So,
But then you put in somebody like Amari Cooper who can get that separation. Now you're running play actions with Amari running go routes. That's a double threat right there. Oh, you got Zeke and Amari and Dak. That's a big three right there.
Yeah.
You know, so that this could be huge for Dallas.
Getting back the dynamic they had when they went 12-4 two years ago, where they had Dez that could go over the top when he was still, you know, pretty healthy.
Yeah.
And then they could have Cole Beasley who could go underneath and get open. And then Zeke who could dominate defenses in that offensive line, which is still pretty strong. So I think they're going to win the division.
Yeah.
The Eagles do not. The Eagles are not the team they were last year.
They've been so inconsistent. It's been ridiculous.
Super inconsistent. Yeah, definitely. The Redskins are just one of those mediocre teams. I mean, they're currently winning.
They'll hang there. They'll hang around.
They'll hang in.
Yeah.
I think Josh Norman's already like won him a game by himself.
Yeah.
You know? But I think they're going to go like probably like 9-7.
Yeah.
Maybe 8-8. But I mean, if the Cowboys can get hot, and I think they can now that they got Amari.
They've
and
proved it this year. They can get hot. So.
Yeah, they have. So I don't know. I think the NFC East is a fun division to talk about, but to be real, they're all not good teams.
Yeah.
No.
You know what I mean? None of those teams are going to, you know, they're not going to like be the best team in the league, which brings me to a question to you, for you guys, who's been the best team in the NFL so far? Let's start with Chris.
I think it's the Rams.
Retweet.
Yeah. They're undefeated. The only undefeated team in the NFL right now. Right now, they're top 10 in all offensive main offensive categories. They allow less than 20 points a game. They're just loaded all over. It's like every game, it's like you can count on Todd Gurley like just running the ball all over the any defense. It doesn't even matter who he plays. It just runs all over him.
Yeah.
They're healthy all around, basically, except for at corner. Talib will be back soon, I believe. But they're just dominant in all phases right now. Greg Zuerlein's back too. He's a great kicker.
Yeah, he is.
So he's got a big one. Yeah, definitely the Rams for me.
Okay, cool. And then
the Rams, tomorrow's game against Green Bay is probably the biggest mismatch Aaron Rodgers has ever faced in his entire career. I'm not looking for, and like living in Florida, there's a good chance I'm not going to be able to watch most of the Green Bay games. Right. And of course, this is like America's game of the week at 4 o'clock. And I'm like, crap. Now I have to watch the game because I'm morally obligated to. And it's just going to be disgusting. And like, I know it's going to be a bad game. And then looking at like just like the jealousy factor, like putting in Aaron Rodgers' shoes, you got to know he's looking at Sean McVay and that team like, if Aaron Rodgers was the starting quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams,
why can't that be me?
Like, seriously. He's like, Goff, get over you. Like, you're a rookie. Get over here and get some experience with a crap offense with where everybody's hurt and a defense that changes up their scheme and then doesn't do anything about it. So I'm jealous for Rodgers. I'm like going to this game like, dude, I'm so sorry. Like,
listen, Zach. Got a truth bomb here.
Okay.
We've got two truth bombs here.
Uh-oh.
So first off, when you pay a quarterback $140 million, however much they paid Aaron Rodgers, makes it kind of tough to put a bunch of talent around him.
Oh,
you just don't have the funds to do that.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, that's my issue with the Giants giving Odell Beckham such a big contract is you don't even have a quarterback. You know what I mean? And you give Odell Beckham this huge deal with all this money, and it's like you don't have anyone to throw him the ball. You know, they're not going to be good for years because all their money is with a wide receiver who's a dependent position. And quarterback, while it's not necessarily a dependent position, you do need guys to get open. You know, you can what they say, you can throw them open, but it doesn't always work that way. You know, and you can't block for yourself.
And Aaron Rodgers is probably the only guy that can throw somebody open because he gets this like rice-sized like window to get the ball into, and he does it. Like, it's like that game against the 49ers, dude. That like, this is the struggle of being a Packers fan. Is like, there's a good chance that we're going to witness another miracle from Rodgers tomorrow.
It could be.
Or there's a good chance that it's just going to be, well, this has been the struggle of, like you're saying, that
right.
We paid him money he deserves. Yeah. Granted, he definitely deserves every penny in that contract for all those years. But this is what we're going to have to live with unless we get some master draft pick, which isn't going to be this year.
That's the thing, and is that the Packers don't, they don't have a fantastic
track record in the draft.
They're always
like a 26th round, first round pick. Exactly. You know? And it's like, we can't. Yeah. It's not going to work that way, guys.
Yeah, because of their positioning, it's different than the Panthers, where like they can have an off year and get Christian McCaffrey, mm-hmm. and then they reload and they're back. You know, as opposed to the Packers, where it's like they're always great because of Aaron Rodgers, so they never get a franchise-changing talent. So they're just stuck with nobody at running back because they don't want to give up a first-round pick because you're like, we can get a great talent. But then you don't end up drafting anyone that actually helps your team because your pick isn't until like pick 28.
When's the last time they actually had a good running back?
Eddie Lacy when he was in his prime.
Yeah, Lacy started out. He started out like, oh, this kid has potential.
Before he was fat.
Yeah, before.
But in general, it's like Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Grant was a pretty consistent running back
was.
For us.
When he was healthy. Then,
dude, that game, I don't know why I remember it so well, but that game against the Giants in 2000 and like maybe 2008, I believe, it was a playoff game. That was like the last good game we had at a Ryan Grant. I don't know what it was about. I mean, Brett Favre and Ryan Grant both fumbled after that game. Like, when we had it won, the Super Bowl was going to be ours, and then it wasn't.
Oh.
And then it wasn't.
Oh, okay. I don't know anybody here remembers what you're talking about. I don't.
Okay. I don't either.
The fact of the matter is, Ryan Grant was probably the last really good running back we've had. And James Starks has had his moments, but that's just the story of Green Bay's running game. It's inconsistent. Oh, man, we found our guy next week. Oh, wait.
Broken ribs.
Broken. Everything. So,
your answer. Your answer for my question was the Rams. Kidding. That happens. And my answer is the Rams. They're a very easy choice. Yeah. They're by far, I think, the best team in the league. Kansas City's up there, but
they're close second.
Do you think
they're close second? But their defense is not bad. But
if given a rematch, can the Chiefs beat the Patriots?
I think they can. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I necessarily put like money on it.
Yeah.
But I definitely think they have. I think if they play in Arrowhead in the playoffs, and if Patrick Mahomes is shown to be playing pretty well in the playoffs, doesn't choke in his first ever playoff appearance, then I think they can win. But again, depends. Patrick Mahomes didn't like win a championship in college.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have any of that, you know, spotlight.
No playoff experience.
He doesn't have a clutch gene yet. We don't know. You know, he could be kind of like that Andrew Luck type quarterback where he's great in the regular season, but every time he gets in the playoffs, he starts the game by throwing three interceptions, and it's like, regardless of what you do in the fourth quarter, you threw three interceptions in the first quarter, my guy. It doesn't matter if you have 500 yards. You threw three picks in the first quarter.
God.
But no, like, I don't know. I think so. Rams is a pretty easy answer to that one.
All right, Chris, worst team?
Worst team? I'm going to have to go with the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oakland Raiders.
No, I mean, I don't like them at all, but honestly... They are the worst team. I was looking up some stats. They're 28th in the NFL in scoring. They can't run the ball. Marshawn's injured, so who do they have?
Yeah.
Well, nope.
Old Doug Martin. That's about it.
Is he their running back?
And Jalen Richard.
Yes. Terrible dude.
That's not good.
Yeah. So with running, they're 25th in the league in rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Carr's thrown 8 picks so far.
Yeah.
He's been sacked 17 times in 7 games. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's up there. I think Eli's like 18.
Their defense is not good. They've only sacked the QB 7 times. So there's no pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
There's no defense. And they're just horrible.
Yeah.
Right now. And John Gruden has had a rough start with coaching. So my worst team is the Oakland Raiders right now. The Cardinals are a close second.
After they got blown out by
my Denver Broncos.
That was my pick, is the Cardinals. They have yet to gain 300 yards of offense in a game this season.
Yeah.
They've converted less than 22% of their third downs, which over a full season is the lowest percentage in not 10 years, not 20 years, not 30 years. But 40 years.
What?
Wow.
That's pretty bad. So they are just a corpse on offense. And the defense has potential to be decent, but they're too busy just lumping this corpse of an offense around. They're like, I mean, how much can you expect out of a team like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's so My pick's the Cardinals.
Listen, man, I chose Josh Rosen to be the star quarterback coming out of this draft. I'm still sticking
first
with it.
First pass of the game.
That was a beautiful thing.
I'm still sticking with it, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals too.
Yeah.
He's had a rough year so far. And now Patrick Peterson wants out of Arizona. So all they're going to have is Larry Fitzgerald and nothing else.
That's been a back and forth story because he said it came out he wanted out, but he's like, no, I'm committed. I'm like, I know you're committed, but that doesn't mean you don't want out.
Exactly.
You know what I think maybe it's just like putting a Band-Aid over it.
That's
like,
what it is, yeah.
Yeah, like I think eventually he will, you know, it'll come out like Peterson traded here or there, which kind of moves us on to another topic. The NFL trade deadline is Tuesday, right? The 30th?
30th, yeah.
October 30th.
At 4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock. Eastern it's coming time. Tuesday. What is one trade? Doesn't have to be logical. I mean, we'd prefer it to be, but what is one trade you would really like to see from the trade deadline?
I have two. I'm going to let Chris go first because if he has one of them, I don't want to take it.
No, I probably don't. But it's going to be interesting for you, especially. I'm thinking that the Cincinnati Bengals should trade for Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, the Bills?
From the Bills for a fifth round pick or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Because they have AJ Green and Tyler Boyd, who have been playing well, and they just need that third guy. They need another red zone threat. Tyler Eifert's out for the year.
Yeah. That's a shame.
So give them another threat. They got a good running game with Joe Mixon and Gio Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they have that third wide receiver that they can trust, another guy that they can go to in the red zone, I think Kelvin Benjamin could be a guy that would help them because he doesn't want to be in Buffalo. You know, he needs a change of scenery right now. He doesn't have a good quarterback there. Let Andy Dalton have another weapon. So, I'd like to see that. So, if not Kelvin, somebody else, some big guy. I don't know.
Yeah. Make a deal with a struggling team to grab a receiver.
Yeah.
It makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, actually. I didn't think about Kelvin Benjamin. I haven't thought about him since he abandoned the Carolina Panthers. But listen, that's a good idea. I agree. Mm-hmm. They should do that. My pick is my choice is pretty realistic. I think the Eagles are going to go out and I think they're going to land Patrick Peterson.
Ooh,
they need it. Nice. I mean, listen, in the past 2 or 3 years, they gave up the King's ransom to get Carson Wentz. They've done anything they can do to get talent that they want and that they need. And now the Giants have Amari Cooper and they look to be the favorites of the division. The Eagles need to get someone that can stop Amari Cooper. And I think if they go out and maybe they have to give them a first round pick, a first and like a fourth.
But yeah, I think more than a first.
Yeah, more than a first. Patrick Peterson.
If Amari Cooper is worth the first round pick, Patrick Peterson's worth double.
That's the only thing that might stop the trade from happening.
Yeah.
Is I think the Cardinals would be like, this is a franchise like altering talent. I think he's only like 28 years old.
He's young.
He's still a young guy.
The Eagles may have to give up a player along with the pick.
They are.
That might be what they have to do.
That's the thing. I think that might stop the trade from going through before the 30th. But I think if they want to have a shot of repeating, they need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's my pick.
Not only is he a great defender, he could play special teams.
Yeah,
he's a great returner. Guy. So mm-hmm. you're getting a versatile guy that can return kicks, punts, and lock down.
Exactly,
I mean, one of the best in the league.
And so. It's crazy that we have to mention the Eagles actually need a return man.
Bad.
They really do.
They can't risk putting their running backs back there because Jay Ajayi is out for the year.
Yeah.
So every guy who's a running back on that team, they need healthy. They need to save them. So going out and getting Pat Peterson would actually be, they would actually solve two problems there. So yeah, agreed. What's up, Zach? What's your choice?
I've got two trades. Both involve the Broncos. Sorry, Chris.
Okay. Better be good.
The first one, Demaryius Thomas to the Dolphins.
Oh.
I don't know who the Dolphins are sending over, but I just know.
Better be something good. But he's not getting traded.
Wait, hold on. I need to hear more about this Dolphin. Why the Dolphins?
So it was reported on Sunday that, and Chris refuted this, but I'm going to stick with it. Adam Schefter reported on Sunday that Denver is still willing to trade Demaryius. And in response, he said to the trade rumors, my time here is coming up. So that's a big selling point. Miami just lost Albert Wilson.
It's true.
Kenny Stills might end up being out this Sunday as well. Do they have a bye this week? I don't know who they're playing.
I don't know.
Whatever. That's irrelevant. Kenny Stills is probably going to hit the bench pretty soon from injury. Devontae Parker is in the middle of contract disputes, his agent is in the middle of contract disputes with the team.
He's still playing like an actual responsible football player.
Sure, but the agent is just like getting in the way of everything. So that's not saying that's a bad sign, but no. The point is like they've got wide receiver problems. I think Demaryius would be a really good addition to, if we can just be honest, Brock Osweiler's offense right now. Tannehill's just
the Brockweiler.
It's Brocktober, baby.
I don't think the Dolphins should give anything up right now. They don't have the resources to do that, and they don't have.
Of course, they don't.
They don't have a shot to win anything with Brock Osweiler at quarterback.
Hey,
or Ryan Tannehill for that matter.
We've seen the Dolphins do worse.
Jay Cutler. You're right.
Smoking Jay, baby.
I mean, Brock hasn't played too bad, in all honesty. Yeah. He really hasn't. I mean, the defense gave up 42 points to the Houston Texans. Like, you kidding me? Like, he put up like 23 points.
Yeah.
Where was this for the Broncos Osweiler. Last year for Brock Osweiler? He was a scrub. And now he's okay.
I don't know, man.
It's all right.
I think he's still a scrub, I think.
It's just Miami, though. Like, it's just typical. Yeah. So my other pick involves Chris Harris Jr. Okay. One of the best slot cornerbacks in the league. He's also up for grabs in this, you know, to be honest, Chris, the Broncos garage sale that's going on right now. Everyone's up for grabs at this point.
Hey, we're 3-4.
Yeah, all right.
There's still a chance.
It's a B-plus team, you know?
I disagree.
B minus.
Yeah,
C plus.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, they looked like an A plus on Thursday.
Yeah, against the F negative minus quadruple pi over chart team. Yeah. Congrats, Chris. I'm sorry, bro.
It's an NFL team.
That was mean.
It's an NFL team. Okay.
45-10 on the road. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I think Chris Harris could, if he's involved in the trade, mm-hmm. could be sent to New England.
Oh, gosh.
If the Patriots don't go after Patrick Peterson, I see them coming after somebody like Chris or like Harris, who's a great outside corner. And that's something that they are struggling with right now. It's outside corner depth.
Yeah.
Someone who could also handle the middle of the field when needed.
Yeah.
As I said, right now, Peterson's in the mix for a potential trade to New England. But they would also be taking a lesser price for Harris, but for somebody who... Peterson's on like a whole different level.
Yes.
But
Bill Belichick isn't giving up that much to get Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? You got to give him a first round and something else. Bill Belichick has a hard time parting with a fourth round pick. Yeah. You know, so yeah. I can't see them getting Pat. But Chris Harris, on the other hand.
John Elway would be so dumb to trade Chris Harris to New England.
I mean.
To New England.
He wasted a first round pick on Paxton Lynch and then cut him like 2 years later.
Oh, that's... That was drafting. This is different.
Yeah,
this
well,
is trading.
All right. Well,
why would he trade them to the Patriots? We're like rivals with them. We already hate them.
Well, realistically, the reason why would be because the Broncos are looking at another 2 to 3 years before they're an elite football team. And in another 2 to 3 years, any sane person would imagine Tom Brady's going to be 44, 45 years old, not going to be playing football anymore. Hopefully. You know what I mean?
He'll be playing into his 50.
Now, I know you're not allowed to touch the quarterback anymore without getting a 15-yard
penalty. God forbid.
So.
Yeah.
God forbid. Who knows? Maybe he'll keep playing until he's 60. But
especially when we start putting flags into this. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's a flag football action.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Sales are going up. I got one more. This isn't mine. I saw it on the Ringer's website.
Heck yeah.
This is under the category trades that won't happen but would be really fun. Okay. Von Miller.
Oh.
Another Bronco.
What's up with these Broncos,
Von, because I told you, it's garage sale, baby.
He hates the Broncos. Right now.
I actually like the Broncos.
Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos.
But I like the Chiefs more than the Broncos. So mm-hmm. I think this would be a very fun trade, Chris. Oh. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, let's hear it.
Von Miller to the Kansas City Chiefs. Four.
Chris's face.
He's so mad.
We need a
Just
camera.
Wait till you hear this. A 2019 first round pick, a 2019 second round pick, and a 2020 first round pick. That would be dope.
That's a whole lot of good.
That's
dude.
A whole lot of good.
See, I don't mind the return price. But I dislike the team that we're setting.
I know. The true fan. I love you, Chris.
Yeah. What about the Chargers with that deal? The Chargers are looking pretty good right now, man. They got a really solid offense. Their issue is pass rushing.
Von Miller on that. Again, that's a defense that their secondary is good.
Yeah.
The defensive line is okay. But then you put somebody like Von Miller who, for all offensive lines, are like, oh, crap.
He's going to make everyone better on that defensive
yes.
line. Yeah.
Ooh.
That's fun.
Chris, how do you feel about that?
Next question.
Yeah, listen, the Chargers are
We're
cool
on to
because...
Cincinnati.
The Chargers are cool because Phillip Rivers is one of those guys I think most people want to see win a Super Bowl at some point. Because he's like a really humble down there dude, and he's really funny. And he's
like
really good.
Got like 40 kids, too. You gotta, you know, he's got kids, man. Come on.
He's got kids, man. But no, he's a really talented quarterback. He's going to end up breaking a bunch of records at the end of his career. He's that good. And he's going to end up pretty much having nothing for it. Because the Chargers have pretty much been a joke. They've been a joke of a team for a long time.
Yeah.
But now, they actually have talent, and they seem to be being managed with some type of competence. Right? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that'll be fun. That would be a fun trade, but yeah. Who knows, so, man. Yeah. Trades are fun.
Trades are fun.
Except those that you just mentioned.
Speaking anyway. Of good guys, there's a recently, well, how do you word this? There's been a story that's been developing. It's a feel-good story in the NFL. Adam Thielen, wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. He played college ball at Minnesota State University and went undrafted in, when was he, 2013, I think?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think 2013.
He became an undrafted free agent in 2013. Got picked up by Minnesota a few years later. He's put on quite a performance this year. He started the season with 7 consecutive 100-yard games, leaves him at 67 receptions for 822 passing yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's 7 games.
That's good.
He's
good at catch.
He's very good at catch.
Very good at catch.
He's an awesome
story,
catch
ball
man.
Well.
So with that being said, does that put him at the top of the list of best wide receivers in the NFL or near the top?
I think so as of right now. I mean, he definitely benefits from playing at the team that he does. You know, they got a lot of weapons over there in Minnesota. And I think he definitely benefits from it. But at the same time, you can't sit here and discredit what he's done. He's been super consistent for Kirk Cousins. And that team, that offense at least, looks really strong. And Adam Thielen's leading the charge there.
Especially Kirk's pregame speeches. Have you seen them?
Undefeated when he does his pregame speeches.
Yeah, he's 3-0 or 2-0 when he does a pregame speech. But you got to think, like, you don't want to put too much pressure on the guy. Like, when he wants to talk, you let him talk, but you don't let him talk every week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when he talks, can you imagine him, like, in the NFC Championship, and he comes out there with the whole crowd, it's like, it's over. It's over.
It's over.
Like, throw the white flag.
Goodbye, Rams. Goodbye, you don't say Rams. The chance against Kirk, like, Cousins.
He just did a dope pregame speech. It's over. Like,
so what do you think he's saying in there? Like, you like that?
They're probably talking about, like,
is he doing like a Samoan tribal chant,
dude? If he's, like, did slapping? That, that'd be the fun, like, just like white as can be, man, comes out there like pulling off with the rock used to. That'd be awesome, dude. That'd be the greatest thing to ever happen.
I would
dude.
Love that song.
You know, he trademarked the phrase "you like that."
He did.
Did he trademark?
He trademarked.
He sold the merch. Like, he had like an online store, and he like sold merch from "you like that."
What a guy.
Yeah, he's a smart. He's a businessman. That's what these quarterbacks are today, man. They're businessmen. You see Cam Newton? He always goes out in those sweet outfits.
He is such a man.
He gets sponsored by a lot of those brands that he
does
wears.
Does he really?
Of. Yeah. They sponsor him and he wears their clothes. That's why he wears so many stupid clothes.
Him and Russell Westbrook, dude. They're
and
both.
Von Miller wears the craziest.
Von too. Like those, specifically like Russ and Cam, dude. They are pulling off some fashion trends, my guy.
Oh, yeah.
They give you a good laugh.
Mm-hmm. They really do.
Even when they're losing. Especially the 0-4 Thunder, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, man.
0-4.
Here's the thing. Okay, so before we get into basketball, just want to reiterate, Adam Thielen having an incredible year.
He's the man.
He's the man.
He is the man.
All right, sweet. Okay, basketball. So the Oklahoma City Thunder are just the embarrassment I thought they were going to be. And I love it so much.
Why do you love it so much, Matt?
Because Paul George is an idiot. He could have gone to L.A. to play with LeBron
or Houston.
And my boy Lonzo Ball. But instead, he stays in Oklahoma City with the most selfish point guard in the NBA in Russell Westbrook. A guy who rode Durant out of town. And he would not let Durant be the alpha of the team. He demanded Russell Westbrook is the alpha of this basketball team, and they didn't go anywhere because of it. Paul George sits there, and he's like, I want to play Russell Westbrook because I'm not a sane person. And guess what? They're 0-4. And you know what? In the last game they had when they lost, Paul George shot 2 times in the fourth quarter. Russell shot 11 times in the fourth quarter. That is Russell Westbrook. That's what he does. And that's why Paul George will forever be a loser.
You know what's so great? You know what's so great about that last loss they had, though?
Yeah.
Is it came when they were just manhandling the Celtics. Like, it was not pretty. I was watching the game, like, I'm not going to stop watching. Like, I'm not. It's my team. But I don't like how this is looking right now. This is not. It's early in the season. You know, it's all right. But then Brad Stevens. But then Brad Stevens. You know, there's just something about that guy that's so beautiful. Where, like, when he walks in the locker room and he gives this little, like, just a really quick reiteration to, you know, Brad, how do you think about that first half? It's just the way that he worded, we're going to come out strong in the second half. I'm like, he's about to give a really good locker room speech, and they're going to come out and they're going to win this game. You just had a feeling, right? And so the Celtics come back out, and what was told in the locker room was, let's just go out there and have some fun. This is not going to be a biased Celtics talk. I'm getting somewhere, back to Russ on this.
You get somewhere? Okay.
I am. Still, Celtics won the game. But sitting at 3-2. They come out, and Brad said, you know, let's just have some fun, guys. You're looking really tense out there. Let's just go have some fun. Tatum started opening up. Horford shot 3 3-pointers in a row, probably just for the hell of it. He's like, let's just see what happens. I just drained it. This is something I've always seen in the Thunder. Is, I'm not going to blame Billy Donovan for this, but even though it might be part of the issue, but this has been a team that has always played so tense. Like, game one of the regular season, let's just treat it like the finals, man. Like, I get that mindset, but it hurts you when you have guys like Russell Westbrook who already play aggressive.
Right.
But why don't you get some players around him that can take some of that tension off?
You nailed it, though. The reason why the players play that way is because Russell Westbrook shoots 20,000 times a game.
He refuses to have
They get one shot in the fourth quarter. That's all they get. Mm-hmm. These role players that are money from three, they get one opportunity. They miss it one time. Russell's like, never going back to you again. I'm going to shoot it 20 more times this quarter.
Yep.
That's why they're so tense.
Yeah.
Because they have to make it. And that's why Durant used to be so tense in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Was because he wouldn't get any opportunities. If he missed one shot, Russell would just be like, all right, I'm putting the team on my back now. And Durant's like, dude, come on.
Hand it off.
I'm the second best player in the world. Give me the ball.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's just what Westbrook does. And that's exactly what happened. Paul George missed one three-pointer in the fourth quarter. And then he didn't even touch the ball for another like 4 minutes of the game. Because Russell Westbrook just didn't give him the ball.
And to everybody's surprise, there have been people that have come out recently to say, yeah, playing with Russell Westbrook was not a fun experience, which, big shocker. Big time shockers.
That's probably why Melo wanted to leave.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
He wasn't getting his shots.
He's happier on the bench in Houston 9 million times out of 1 than he was playing with Russell Westbrook starting.
Oh, yeah. Like,
100%.
I think so.
Did
you see that awesome clip of Melo where he goes to get a rebound? And he's yelling to his teammate, I got this rebound. And then he smacks it out of bounds.
Yeah.
He's a character, dude.
He's awesome.
Speaking of the Rockets,
though, you got something to say about them.
We're back on our Jimmy Buckets topic.
Every week.
The Houston Rockets, after Miami shot down Minnesota with a swift kick in the tuchus, they offered 4 first-round draft picks for Jimmy Butler.
It's crazy.
As well as Marquise Chris and Brandon Knight. So we're sitting here. They got offered like what? 3 days ago?
Yeah.
I believe
3 days ago probably. Do you think that's a good deal?
Why would they not have already done that?
That's what I'm freaking saying. Like, what are they waiting for?
It's like the 4 first round picks. I mean, Houston's going to be one of the better teams in the NBA. So those picks are going to be probably...
They could take down the Warriors with Jimmy Butler on that team. He's been killing it this year.
It's like for the Rockets, it's like... Those picks are going to be from 25 to 30, most likely.
Right,
the first round picks, if it's theirs. I don't know if they're all theirs or if there are other teams as well. But if they are all theirs, then yeah, it's 25 to 30. So it's like second round picks that they're giving up.
Right.
So it's like essentially 4 second round picks and then 2 role players for Jimmy Butler who could get them over the hump and get them to the finals.
Yeah, I mean,
I say go do it.
I mean, I agree, but we saw what happened with the Nets when the Nets did that. They were in purgatory for like 6 years. And they're just crawling out of it now because they lost so many draft picks to get Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett that it was like once they left and it didn't work out. Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett were both past their primes when the Nets got them and their team struggled the whole time. And then all of a sudden now they didn't have picks for like 4 years. And it was like, well, we're screwed.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand why if one side might be hesitant, but still, I mean, If the Rockets want to contend with the Warriors, they got to do it. They need them.
If I were the Timberwolves, I'd be like, heck yeah, I'm accepting that trade.
Right, yeah.
Four first round picks. For Jimmy, who's, I mean, he's really good, but, yeah. You know.
And it's a win-win for Minnesota in a lot of ways because those picks probably aren't going to be protected. So let's say it isn't going to happen. But let's say, like, next year, Houston just starts to crumble because maybe they don't have chemistry or they can't work something out. Or if they just don't make the playoffs or Western Conference Finals this year. Those are unprotected picks.
Right.
So that could end up going pretty high for Minnesota. And that's four picks. Yeah. So you got to think at least one of them is going to be a good acquisition for
them. Right. Yeah. Right.
So like Jimmy's been killing it for Minnesota. He's been really good. Mm-hmm. But you got to think like with what's going on behind the scenes, it's not going to last forever. Like there's still that animosity between it's almost like with. Like, I guarantee, like, 10, 20 years from now, there's going to be story after story after story of how Russell Westbrook had all these problems with the players in the locker room. Upper management didn't like the guy because of this. So this could be the same thing with Jimmy Butler, where, like, years down the road, it'd be like, oh, we hated that guy. Like, even when he was dropping 40 points, we're like, we don't care. We'd rather drop, you know, 80 games in a season than have you here dropping 40. Like, it's just like there's bad chemistry on the team right now. And so I don't know. I think it's a really good deal for Minnesota, but it's kind of like they're just like looking at all these deals just to kind of see what happens. It's like when you play like Madden, let's just see what happens.
They're just seeing what they can
let's
get.
Let's just see what happens.
Because at the end of the day, with all the crap I've talked about Jimmy Butler on this show,
it's been a lot.
Listen, I believe he has helped the Timberwolves at least become a little bit more mature of a team. At least on the floor, I think on the basketball court, they're a little bit better. They are a better team with him there, you know. And he's given 100% effort. He's playing his ass off, and he's playing really well. And the Timberwolves, while they may not be like one of the best teams in the league, Andrew Wiggins is having a good year. Karl Anthony Towns is having a good year. You know, these guys are doing pretty well. So it's difficult if you want to get rid of a guy who maybe put a spark in your team, but at the same time. Four first-round picks?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
And the Timberwolves could even use some of those picks as assets in a trade to get another player that may not be as good as Jimmy Butler, but they get those first-round picks along with maybe some above-average player that could really help them get over the hump.
Right.
And get them in the playoffs. So.
Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. But speaking of a team getting over the hump, the Los Angeles Lakers have won two straight games, including beating the Denver Nuggets.
Hey, that was our first loss. That's okay. We're 4-1. We lost to a good team.
Lonzo Ball is playing pretty well this year. I think he's their official starter now over Rajon Rondo. Because Rajon doesn't really work.
Well, he got suspended. That's why he didn't play.
He gave
him a wicked left hook.
He spit Chris Paul in the face.
Straight up, dude. Like, the video was obvious.
Man, people only believe Chris Paul because he's Chris Paul, and they don't believe me. And it's like, you spit him in the face,
like,
dude.
Listen, Rondo, even when you were in Boston, there were so... Like, first of all, this has been a heated thing with Chris Paul since like 2007. Mm-hmm. Like, this has been going on for so long.
Long time, yeah.
And even in Boston, there'd be things that he'd say like... Yeah, like this is not a first time thing with Rondo. He has proven himself time in and time again that he's just a dirtbag on the court.
Right.
And he can kind of back it up sometimes. Like sometimes on the stat. He used to be able to back it up all the time.
Right. Because
he had Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen.
Yeah.
And like Kendrick Perkins when he wanted to be good. And like and then they won the title, but then after that it was like, all right. Now we've got nobody. How do you feel now? I'm just going to spit in people's face and come at me, bro. It's how we do it on the streets. Like, shut up, Rajon. Like, get off the court.
Yeah.
Now Lonzo Ball is about to get a starting job. How do you feel now? Like, how does that feel?
Right. And I mean, I love it, man. I love it so much. I hate LaVar Ball, his dad.
Oh, he's the worst.
But I don't know. Just I love LeBron in LA so much. I can't explain it. They got this two guard. His name is Josh Hart. He's played really well this year. He's a lights out shooter. And JaVale McGee's always fun to watch.
JaVale McGee.
He's shooting three pointers now.
God, is he?
Yes.
He put up 21 points the other night.
Yeah, he did.
I was kind of surprised.
Listen, like I said earlier, man, LeBron makes everybody good.
That's
what he does.
LeBron, you take LeBron out of Cleveland. And they're about to be like they're a 15 so or 21 team.
Dude, Cleveland's so bad.
Wait. I have a hot take. This moves us into our next segment, actually. Bold predictions, guys. Moving into bold predictions. The Cleveland Cavaliers will not win more than 25 games this year.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know.
It's not a hot take. I just want to make sure everyone is on the same page here.
I don't know if they win more than 20.
I'm going to raise you. I don't think they win more than 15 games.
15?
Kevin, their best player is Kevin Love, who is an inefficient scorer.
But that shows you how good LeBron is.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the worst team in the NBA. Like, there's not like, oh, they might be. They're the worst.
They're the worst team.
By far. Like, worst team in the NBA.
LeBron right made them the winners of the East by himself.
I just want to say on the record, like Matt with Jimmy Butler, over the past 10 years, I've said a lot of things about LeBron.
That's true.
I've said a lot of things about LeBron. As I've matured, they've gotten a little better, but I've still said a lot of things about LeBron. Seeing how bad the Cavaliers are with a very, very similar roster to last year, minus one LeBron James, he's the homie. He's
yeah.
I can't stand the Lakers or LeBron on the court, but he's the homie.
We got this recorded. Zach just called LeBron James the homie. He's the homie. I never thought I would hear this.
Luckily for me, we're not going to play them in the finals this year.
You're
so
right.
It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. That'd be crazy.
So I can say this now in right the year 2018 through 19 season. Mm-hmm. Next year might be different.
But especially if Durant leaves.
On the record. That's a... Chris, what did I freaking say? All right. Kevin Durant is going to leave the Warriors.
All right, let's say he might leave the Warriors.
He's going to leave the Warriors because he's going to see what
take
LeBron's got going on yeah in Los Angeles, and he's going to join the Lakers
I would
next
hate
year.
That so much.
He's going to join the Lakers, dude. Can you imagine?
Are you
can
kidding
you
me?
Imagine? Let's just like put this into perspective real quick. He left the Thunder. Look, again, he didn't like working with Westbrook, but still, he left his team
yeah
for the team they lost to. What if the Lakers aren't going to beat the Warriors?
No.
What if the Lakers don't win the final? I'm sorry, the Warriors don't win the finals, right?
What if like the Lakers put up a fight in the Western
and they put
Conference
up a fight
finals?
In the
yeah
which I think they are going to go to the Western Conference Finals. What if the Lakers and the Warriors they put up a fight and he's like, oh man, like me and Bron are we got good chemistry. What if and then LeBron tosses the deal and then they start seeing the bulletins in Los Angeles.
Oh my god!
And you start seeing bring KD. Let's do this. KD in LA.
I hate this.
Kid-a-la. Let's get it going, bro.
There's no way he leaves the Warriors.
Oh, there's absolutely no way.
Do the Lakers
but
have enough money to even do that?
Probably not. But
I mean, yeah, they don't have it. They have Michael Beasley and JaVale McGee. What do you mean?
Those are star players right there.
They have so much money to deal with right now. They didn't sign anybody for that reason. Because if LeBron made them a
that's
top
true
caliber team,
they have a lot of role players.
They wanted cap room so they could make trades during the year that could get them over the hump. So they have a bunch of cap room still left.
But I just honestly think like this could be a once in a lifetime opportunity for Durant, because imagine in the record books it going down LeBron James and Kevin Durant, two of the greatest players of our generation on the same team, knocking down championship rings before LeBron retires, and then it's KD's team.
It's so garbage.
It's absolute garbage. But I just wanted this on record.
Yeah, yeah.
If and when it happens.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first, folks.
I'm going to give you something that he actually might do.
Okay.
I don't think he cares about his reputation very much. But maybe in his heart of hearts, after he wins like four free rings with the Warriors, he might understand that doesn't matter. He'll never be better than LeBron because he went to the Warriors. Maybe, just maybe, he'll go to somewhere that's near and dear to his heart.
Okay.
New York Knicks.
Oh.
Hot take.
Yep. In a couple, I don't know if necessarily next year. They don't really have, all they have right now is Kristaps Porzingis. But in a couple years, I can see Kevin Durant going to the Knicks, honestly. I think that's something that's going to happen. You know, he's having this era of his career where he's with the Warriors, and this is great and all for him. He's winning a bunch of free rings, whatever. But at the end of the day, he's going to have to go somewhere where, you know, he's going to have to go somewhere to really have a legacy. You know, he went to OKC and was always overshadowed by Russell Westbrook. He goes to Golden State, and the leader of that team is Steph Curry. He's going to have to go somewhere and really be like, I'm the star here. This is my team, And maybe he won't win a finals that way, but he's got to at least try to he's got to have a legacy somewhere, you know? And it, I mean, maybe if Russell Westbrook leaves OKC, maybe he'll go back there. You know, that's always an option for him to do. Mm. But yeah, I think he'll go to New York. I think, I mean, I don't think he'd go to the Nets in Brooklyn. So yeah, I think he'd go to the Knicks, play Madison Square Garden.
Well, that does it for episode 4. If you want to find us on other podcast outlets, we are on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. See ya.
Thanks, guys.